On this episode of Still Loading, Mario, where are you? Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of Still Loading. For this week's episode, we are kicking off Mario Month, the return of Mario Month. Now, a lot of you may be asking, why don't you do that in March when, you know, Mario Day is March 10th? And, well, it just kind of worked out that way last year, so fuck it. July is now Mario Month. That's why we're doing it. So, as per usual, my go-to guest for Mario Month, Casey, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much. Always love it here.
I'm so excited to have you on for this. We got a great lineup of games for you this month. I hope you all enjoy it. But before we dive into this week's episode, or this week's game, which you probably already saw in the title, but I want to give a shout out to the sponsor of this episode, Video Games Monthly. Video Games Monthly is a monthly subscription service that delivers retro video games to gamers who own classic gaming systems from the 1970s to 2000s. You can pick different options of what tier you want to get. You can have them deliver 3 games monthly, 4 games monthly, 5 games monthly, up to 10 games monthly. And they're all fantastic values. I actually have my first box right here in front of me. My first box. So let me open it up. Let's see what I got this time. So I got right here Sonic 2 for the Sega Genesis. I got Star Wars Episode 1 Racer for the Super Nintendo. No, the N64. I got Excite Bike for the NES. I also got SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs Sealed, the Greatest Hits version, Sealed for the PS2. That's kind of awesome. I mean, SOCOM isn't like my type of game, but like I got a sealed game out of it. That's kind of awesome. And I also got Resident Evil for the GameCube, the remake that they did for the GameCube. So that's pretty freaking awesome. That was it. So thank you guys for sponsoring this week's episode, and let's move right along. So Casey, here we go. We're going to start Mario Month off in style. Last year, you may remember that we covered the classic Marios, Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, 3, and also Super Mario World. Pretty much the first 4 Mario games in the core Mario franchise, in the core Mario series. Now, this year, I was throwing around the idea of like, well, do I want to go to the Game Boy games like Super Mario Land, or do I continue on, like start with the 3D ones with Super Mario 3, or I was a 3D World, Super Mario 64 or Yoshi's Island. I had a whole bunch of ideas, but you know what? I didn't want to go somewhere that everyone knew we were going to go. I wanted to go somewhere that people weren't expecting us to get to until, you know, 3 or 4 years into like doing Mario Month every year. Mm-hmm. But so I'm going to the bottom of the barrel for this one. I'm just diving straight in. This year's Mario Month is the weird edutainment offshoot Mario games that were released either for the PC, NES, Super Nintendo, what have you. This week's episode is Mario's Missing, and we specifically played the NES version. So, Casey, we just beat it. It took us like an hour, because there's no difficulty curve on this. Nope. The difficulty curve is understanding what the hell you need to do. Mm-hmm. But once you figure that out, which you figured it out, even without having to look anything up. So that was pretty awesome.
It's kind of like what you said. I feel like it was pretty straightforward after that. But honestly, the game itself, this is how I see it. It's a bad Mario game.
Yes, it's an awful Mario game.
If you look at it that way. However, if it's just some generic character, it's not a bad game, especially with the music. And I know that you were loving the music, especially.
Dude, all of those, most of those, the tracks for each of the different like cities were bangers. They were fucking great. Yep. I loved all of them. I was beatboxing to a couple of them. That was so legit. If I can find any of them, I'm going to put it into the episode right here.
Please do.
Thank you.
The other thing I was going to say was I can completely understand why it was hated mm-hmm. back in the day, even today. Especially if you're paying full price, you know, $50-$60, whatever it was back in the day, only to find out that it's educational. You know, it's supposed to be Luigi's first claim to fame, only
it's
to find
first
out
starring role.
Exactly. Only to find out that it's a lame educational game, but
and it wasn't even made by Nintendo. Nope. It was made by actually the two developers. I looked into this. The two developers who did this, the Software Toolworks, which they're most famous for doing Star Wars chess on the Sega CD. Actually, they might be more famous for other stuff, but that's the only thing I could see that I like really knew them by.
Well, we were playing the Miracle Piano.
Did they do Miracle
they
Piano?
Yep.
Wait, really?
I think so.
Oh, shit.
I'm almost positive.
Let me double check
that real quick. I didn't mean to
segue. No, you're good. That's crazy, though. They haven't really done a whole lot of stuff, though. I mean, like, they don't have that much of a claim to fame. Okay, so no, I just looked it up. They published the Miracle Piano, but they did not develop it. What's interesting, though, the other company that developed this game or that worked on this game was Radical Entertainment. They're more well known for now doing the prototype games, those big open world like superhero style games. Have you ever played those before?
I don't think so.
They're not bad. I played the first one a lot and I rage quit on this escort mission, but that's neither here nor there. But no, so it was developed by the Software Toolworks and Radical Entertainment, but licensed by Nintendo. This is not some unlicensed game, like Nintendo gave them full permission to do it, just because they didn't want to make an edutainment game, I guess. But I was actually pleasantly surprised by the mechanics of it. It worked really well, and the only real problem with it is that it doesn't do its job as what it sets out to be. It set out to be an educational game, but you can just guess test and you know, redo it every single time. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no penalty for sucking at all.
That's true.
So, like, it's not much of a edutainment game. You just, like, just keep guessing. Like, you don't have to even read what it says. You can just keep guessing the answers, and that's it. So I guess let's break down the gameplay. So the way it works is that let's talk about the plot. I was going to tell you about this. So the plot of this game, Bowser has relocated the Mushroom Kingdom to the real world, where he has set up headquarters in an Antarctic castle. So that's where you're at. Like, that's where all the, like, the pipes that lead to you are. So you have kind of like this hub castle that you start out in, and you go down different pipes and it takes you to different cities throughout the world. And his whole purpose is that he wants to steal all the artifacts from the other world. He sends Koopas to steal artifacts from all the different cities, and you have to go destroy the Koopas, which is easy. You just jump on their head and that's
it. Can't get hurt.
You can't. You know, no, you can't. You just jump on top of them.
Yep.
You pick up the item, and then you have to return it to various spots in the city. And the city is like, they're not if you don't know how to get to the map, they're very convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do know how to get the map, they're just easy. So then Bowser's plan is to steal all those treasures, like I said, so he can get enough money, so he can sell them to get enough money to buy enough hair dryers. That's right, hair dryers, to melt the polar ice caps, so that way he can flood the earth.
This is what Al Gore was worried about in the
Bowser
Truth.
Bowser is the reason for global warming.
Exactly.
For climate change, excuse me.
This is these are facts.
I mean, this game predicted it. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it was actually happening at the time, too, technically. The Earth was already dying in 1994. That's not funny. We shouldn't laugh at that. But no, so that's the premise of the game. So you have to go around to all the different cities, defeat the Koopas, get the items that they tried to steal, and then return them to these, like, information kiosks. And then get the trivia questions right. I guess that really explains the whole game.
That's literally it. You just summed it up in one minute.
Yeah. What did you think of it, though? Like, did you actually think that it held up? Like you said, it's not a good Mario game, but did you actually find yourself enjoying it, or was it more just fun ironically?
Fun ironically is probably the best description.
Yeah, I would say. I wouldn't go back and play that.
Right, no.
I'd go back and listen to the music, though.
Yeah, the music really was not bad. And again, we only played the NES version. The Super Nintendo version, like I was saying as we were playing it, it's more Super Mario World-esque. Still great soundtrack either way, but I would definitely go back and give it a shot whenever you have a chance.
You might have to try that after we're done recording this one.
Definitely.
It was also released on the PC for DOS. And the crazy thing about the DOS release is that it was a point-and-click adventure, while the console version, since they couldn't really do point-and-click, it was more of a platforming type of thing. The controls are really weird, though. It was a weird way to transfer the point-and-click style to a console platform, because generally you don't have a mouse. Mm-hmm. I know the Super Nintendo did, but this was on the NES. So the way they did it, actually, Casey, you figured out the controls. Could you describe the controls? Explain how they worked, I should say.
Yeah, so you have a box up in the top middle screen, and basically there are like three options. One is a question mark, which you need to select whenever you want to talk to people and when you want to talk to the lady at the kiosk. You have essentially a money bag, which is basically what you get when you kill a Koopa Troopa, which has the artifact that you need to return. And then each kiosk is assigned to a specific artifact, so you would need to select said artifact when you go to that kiosk to return it. Once you actually return it to the kiosk, they ask you a quiz. They'll give you a short quiz, which you would have to answer a quick question, and then once you get it correct, you'll give it to the lady, and then she will give you the money for it, tax-free, mind you. It says tax-free in it.
Tax-free. All that money.
Yep. And then, let me think. The other one was, it has the map. So if you select that as well, you can see where you can get the artifacts,
the pipes to transport to, I guess, fast travel.
Yep.
It's kind of like a primitive fast travel, which is kind of cool. I mean, you can't control where you're going. It's all random. What was interesting is that you had to, something I forgot to mention, you had to get Yoshi to where you're at, because you can't return the artifacts.
Correct.
Without Yoshi. You can kill the Koopas and get the artifacts, but you can't return the artifacts to their information kiosks
because
you're too short. Once making fun of short people, I mean, it's heightism. I don't know. but it's really strange. So you have to ask other villagers, and the way you have to ask villagers, like you said, the one option is a question mark, which is how you talk to people. I think you said that already, right? And you hit start to do that, and you have to infer from what they say. Some of them, I'm pretty sure, will just tell you flat out that, like, oh, you're in this city. But other ones, they'll say, like, where are you? And they'll give some weird, cryptic, vague thing. Or, like, oh, well, you know, the pyramids. You're like, okay, so we're in Egypt.
I remember on the one level Moscow, when we came up through the pipe, you're like, oh, this sounds Russian, we have to be Moscow. Like, you just went right by the music itself, which is pretty cool.
They did a pretty good job. Like I said, the music was fucking great. Mm-hmm. Bunch of bangers. I mean you could make some great remixes of this, and it would be like it would be amazing at like a club or something like that. I know that sounds really lame to say, like an edutainment game, but like, seriously, the music in this is surprisingly good. Though the music for the Chinese level, or for the Chinese, for the China level, is a little racist. They consistently go
very
back to that. It's so weird. Sorry, you finished what you were saying about the controls. I completely cut you off
because
I forgot about the Yoshi thing. I cut you off a third time, but what I was going to say was that I never finished about Yoshi. They have to, once you figure out where you are, you have to call Yoshi, and then you have to guide him to that city, and then you can finally ride Yoshi.
Yeah. And the fact that they even put him in this game is pretty impressive as well, because of the limitations. You know, even just 2-3 years prior, you didn't have the capabilities of doing that. But one of the things that I had a gripe with the controls was, as I was saying, with the screen, the little box up in the middle where you can toggle through talking to people, getting the artifacts, etc. There will be times where it would be a little bit tedious, where I would sometimes forget if I were to go talk to the lady at the kiosk, or if someone's walking behind, I need to ask them a question. You would have to toggle back and forth, and that got a little bit annoying. But
it was also, if you noticed, you can't switch the options in the center if you're moving. You have to be completely standing still, because I guess it couldn't just take the two button inputs at the same time. I don't know why.
The other thing was, I remember specifically when Yuron Yoshi, and then a Koopa came by, and then you jumped on him, and then once you jump on him, you have to press down once he drops the artifact bag. That's how you pick it up. You jumped on him at the crossroad, so if you press down or up, for those who don't know the gameplay, on the crossroad, you'll either go up the road or down the road, depending on what direction you push. So Josh jumped on the Koopa right at the crossroad, and in order to pick it up, you had to press down, and instead of picking it up, he kept going down and down and down, and it was just such a pain.
So you had to literally wait until he's off the crossroad so you could actually take him out. It was it was kind of obnoxious. I have it up on the screen here. I know you, listeners at home can't hear, but if you get a chance to, I wanted to show Casey this. The DOS version.
Ouija.
The graphics on it look like a bad Flash animation. Like the screenshot I have right now has Luigi like talking to some woman on a street, and it looks like Luigi's seen some shit. He looks terrified.
Have you ever
right
seen
now.
The Ouija meme?
Is that where it comes from?
Yeah, that's where it came from. Yeah.
Oh shit!
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I don't. That's I'm not up on.
I mean,
memes.
It's so old. It's like 2007. Is it? maybe even yeah. It's an older meme.
I don't really follow memes all that often. I see what I see on Facebook, but like if it was something that was like on the depths of like internet forums, like I didn't go anywhere like that.
It's very
especially
esoteric.
Back in 07. That's kind of funny though.
Yeah.
holy shit, it's like terrifying looking though. But like I love the fact that Nintendo branched out and put it on PC. Now I don't which Mario game was the one that actually had him on actually had the first voice actor. Like we know the first voice actor wasn't Charles Martinet. There was a dude who did the voice of Mario for a PC game. You actually had it, I think.
Yeah, I have it with me on the if you want to give it a shot. But it's if I'm not mistaken. All right, so Charles Martinet, his actually was on PC.
That was
Mario's Game Gallery, which is then later released as Mario's Fundamentals. But before that, it was Mario. If I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Mario Teaches Typing.
Okay.
That came out like a couple years prior to Game Gallery, but I don't know the name of the guy. I think his name was like Ron something, but he sounds Jamaican.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy because like Martinet's characterization of Mario is just so iconic now. Like you can't picture Mario sounding anything different than what he is.
Exactly.
Or what he sounds like. That's kind of interesting, though. So, like, Mario's first voice acting stuff, his first voice acting at all came on the PC, which is kind of weird to think about, like, something that big didn't even originate on a Nintendo system. But I guess it makes sense because the Super Nintendo didn't really have the capabilities of producing like that type of thing. Like you had some like old school NES games, like Bayou Billy has like a really gravelly digitized voice. Like you ever hear the intro of Bayou Billy, it says The Adventures of Bayou Billy, but like a weird like type of like
really?
Effect over
because I know like Big
that
Bird's...
was me, that was not a weird glitch, that weird growl noise, just so everyone knows.
Yeah, I know Big Bird's, I think Hide and Speak for the NES, I think that was one of the first voice over games.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and you were talking about the Super Nintendo capabilities for Mario's voiceover. We'll talk about this in a later episode. Probably at some point, maybe. I mean, I don't want to speak for you.
Yeah, yeah.
But Fun with Letters and Fun with Number and Preschool Fun, these two here, these have voice.
Really?
Voices. Yeah.
How clear are they?
They're pretty clear.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always interesting because I shouldn't say that they couldn't do it. It was just more difficult to do it, and it would take up a lot of unnecessary space, so they never really did it, I guess.
That's what's crazy, and I know it's a little bit off topic, but you know, as I was explaining to you earlier today, that I got the PlayStation Classic yesterday since the price was so good, and I was talking to my brother about it and how I wanted to, at some point, probably hack it to put more games on it, and then he was kind of asking me, you know, like how much can you really put on it without an external hard drive or whatever, and I don't really know too much, but I know like depending on the PlayStation, it could be between like on the size, it could be like between 200 to 700 megabytes, and he was like, oh well, how much was a Super Nintendo game? And I said, well, looking at the ROMs, it was like 2 megs.
Yeah,
that's insane. Yeah,
there's such. I mean, that's why there is literally marketing advertisements for the RPGs. They're like, this is a 16 megabyte RPG. granted, most of it was all like music.
Yeah.
Like Earthbound, like I think 2/3 of what its file size was just the music or something like that. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But no, where were we going with all that?
The size and the voiceovers and
that's
how,
what it was.
Yeah.
No, and I like, I always find that type of thing interesting though. But and, I mean, this game didn't have any voiceovers, I don't believe, correct? Mario is missing.
Right.
The graphics, though, for what we played on the NES was surprisingly good. Like, they looked like Super Nintendo graphics. Not quite as crisp, and some of the sound effects were pretty off. Like, the sound effect for going down a pipe was not a sound effect for going down a pipe. I don't know what it was, but it was not that.
I have it stuck in my head now. Yeah, I was wondering as to why they couldn't just take the sound effect from the original Super Mario Brothers that came out, like, 8 years prior.
Was it really that? Yeah, I guess so, because this came out of like this was a late NES game, like 93, 94.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the Software Toolworks got bought out in 94, so this happened sometime before then, like early, like, you know, like I said, early 90s. Mm-hmm. You know what? I probably could just look up. I have the internet.
I know it was 93. I just don't know the month or date.
It was 93. According to Wikipedia, they don't have a specific date. It was January 93 for the DOS version and in quarter 2, 93 for the consoles.
Hmm. I'm surprised that they don't have that.
Yeah, quarter 2 in 93. Sorry, I was just double checking. But yeah, it was surprisingly fun, though. Like, I kind of agree with you. I think I like it ironically. I don't think I'd actually play it all that much. But I surprisingly enjoyed what I did play with this just because it was just so simple. Mm-hmm. And the music honestly kept me going. The music was so much fun. The sound effects were shit. The jumping sound effect, especially once you got Yoshi, was just annoying.
Yeah.
I hated that sound effect. It sounded like you were like strangling Yoshi. Yeah. It was not pleasant to listen to. So I guess to wrap it up, because I mean, do you have anything else to say about Mario's Missing?
There really isn't too much to say about it. It's one of those things where it's like you have to go and play it for yourself. But, you know, what you reiterated, it's one of those games that you and I both enjoyed, ironically.
I would be like one of those games, like if you have a bunch of friends over who also like retro games, I don't think you could just go to some normo's house and be like, hey guys, check out this game. Isn't it funny? And everyone's like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Why would you bring this here? Where's my alcohol?
Yeah, that's accurate.
But like, you know, people like us who are who geek out about these types of things, it would definitely be something you would bring over to their house and be like, what is this? What kind of who would make this? It, for what it's worth, it's an easy game to complete. So if you're trying to find a game to add to like to your beaten list, find a copy of this because it's not going to take you long. Like normally when we play these games, we only try to play for about 20-30 minutes, but we actually just beat it because it was just that easy to do.
Yep.
So any final thoughts before we wrap this one up, Casey?
No, nothing for me. That's pretty much it.
Fair enough. I'm actually amazed. Like right now, looking at the timer, we're at 25 minutes. I do have a
25 minutes already.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I do have some edits I got to make to cut out some of my flubs from earlier. So it's probably going to be down to about like 21 or 22 by the maybe not even that much. It's going to be down a minute or two from where we are right now. But you know, I'm actually amazed we even got 20 some odd minutes out of this game. So. Yeah. But everyone, we're just getting started on Mario Month, so pay attention because there's going to be an episode coming out every week this month. In fact, there's actually going to be even a bonus episode I'm shooting for actually this Friday, another bonus episode. I know I've been producing a lot of content lately, but I got a lot in the pipeline and some of it can't wait, so I'm going to be releasing it out. So this is going to be a crazy month for Still Loading. So I guess to wrap this one up, thank you all once again for listening, and I hope you are going to enjoy Mario Month this year. I know I am. Casey, thank you for joining me on this first episode. You'll be back for the next couple as well.
Can't wait. Looking forward to it.
So you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. Also, feel free to reach out to me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. Casey, where can they find you online?
You can just follow me on Instagram if you are interested. I mainly just post all video game related things, especially my collection and what's going on in my video game life. It's Kazuya Kane. That's K-A-Z-U-Y-A-K-A-N, as in Nancy E.
Do people mishear N for some reason?
They might. I don't know. I just do it just for extra clarification.
I do that with my last name just because people can't, the one letter they always mishear. But anyway, you can also check out the podcast network I'm a part of, the Podbeard Network. You can check it out at podbeardnetwork.com. Also consider checking out Seat Giant, who is a sponsor of the Podbeard Network. Seat Giant's a ticket reselling website where you can go get tickets for your favorite concerts, musicals, plays, events, anything you can really think of. Go check it out. If you use the promo code Podbeard, that's P-O-D-B-E-A-R-D at checkout, you'll save a little extra on top of that. And that should wrap this episode up. So, Casey, thank you for joining me.
Always a pleasure.
And we will see you all next time.